North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Morning. You've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson and joined this morning by Will Love. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Jack. I've got a question for you to start off with. All right. So I saw that Congress is essentially defunding public radio or public broadcasting. And I'm really concerned about that six-figure salary that you guys, that KRFY provides me. For coming in the summertime. And so am I to worry? Am I to cut back some spending and stuff like that?
I think you're due for a bit of a haircut.
Okay. But in all seriousness, is any impact to community radio stations like KRFY based off of?
To community radio stations like KRFY, I would say yes. It's a big topic of conversation in the various kind of email threads, chains that I follow, KRFY itself does not receive any funding from the federal government, so we won't be directly impacted. Of course, a lot of our syndicated programming comes from larger stations that do receive, so the effects on us will be kind of downstream at this radio station.
Right.
So we're not, we won't be. Shouldn't be directly impacted.
So what I'm hearing is my six-figure salary should for be the
time,
okay.
Yeah, for the time being,
okay.
You'll be, you're...
you'll well, be I appreciate fine. It. Thank
yes.
you.
Anyway, that's the news. Actually, you
the
know
news
what?
Of the week.
Wait, yeah. This is a good time for a little cross-promotion with other station content. I know Amy Goodman, who hosts Democracy Now! That just ended, is going to be a guest on alternative radio on Monday talking about the value of community media.
Okay.
So, and I haven't heard the talk. I think she'll focus on radio, but I imagine probably touches on newspapers as well. So might be of interest to everybody to tune in to alternative radio, I think at 6 o'clock on Monday evening here on KRFY. We're joined this morning by two staff reporters from the Bonner County Daily Bee. Chloe Cochran is here. Good morning, Chloe.
Good morning.
And Jack Freeman is here, a first-time guest in the KRFY studio. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And we'll, this is, as it is your first time, we'll hopefully end the show with a little introduction of you and what brings you to town. But first, let's run down some local news headlines. Starting up at the state level, hot temperatures continue statewide, and above normal wildfire activity is expected for most of Idaho through the remainder of the summer. So far, fewer acres of land have burned this year compared to the same year to date in 2024, so that's the good news. However, temperatures have been above average and precipitation levels below average for this year, and those trends are expected to continue through September, I believe. This comes from, let's see, it was Idaho Departments of Land Deputy Director Bill Hagenson in a briefing to Governor Brad Little and members of the State Board of Land Commissioners on January 15th, talking about fire season. So that's the word from Boise that affects kind of this statewide issues. The Idaho Department of Lands, relatedly, is going to consider proposing a bill during the 2026 legislative session to increase the fire protection surcharge for lots that have residential structures on forest lands to pay for fire protection programs. The current surcharge for lots with residential structures on them is $40 annually, and that would go up to not to exceed $100 if that proposal is submitted and then passed by the legislature. In our area, the Cooperative Information Network, which is a regional library consortium, will dissolve as of September 30th. We've talked about this consortium a couple times on the radio station in the past. I believe on this show,
you can. Yeah, I think I remember Zach Hagedorn coming on and speaking into that.
It's a network of libraries that exchange materials with one another and does include West Bonner, so the Priest River Library, East Bonner County Library. The Sandpoint Library is not involved in this anyway, so another one of those kind of no direct impact, but related. This the network stretches all the way down to Moscow, but it will dissolve as of September 30th.
Essentially, it allowed smaller libraries to have access to more resources.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, exactly right. You don't have to keep all the books on the shelves at all times. You can kind of, they live wherever they happen to live, and they can move around when they're requested. Talking about fires a little bit, the Clover Fire burned about 50 acres, but is now 100% contained. This was up near Naples. I believe it was contained on Monday, right before those winds hit on Monday night. That could have led to disaster, but they got it under control. The Idaho Department of Lands is asking people to avoid Deep Creek Loop between Schoolhouse Road and Highland Flats Road, as fire traffic is still present. Another fire out in Kootenai. This in this morning's Daily Bee. This is another kind of, I guess, good news because it's contained, but could have been a disastrous night. Fire crews from multiple agencies quickly contained a Thursday evening fire at Lignetics. Northside Fire Chief Jeff Armstrong said a passerby noticed what they felt was an inordinate amount of smoke at the Pondere Wood Products Company and called 911 to report a possible fire at 5:18 p.m. By the time crews arrived a couple minutes later, the fire had spread from the kiln and gotten into the walls and in the stack, and they upgraded the report to a structure fire, but the fire was contained. And it is now, under control and completely out, I guess. But, I mean, of all the places that you would not want to see catch on fire, I think Lignetics would be pretty much right at the top, as they make wood pellets and heating bricks and designed to be flammable. Yeah. So I imagine if that actually did catch on fire, that'd be a tough one. Or if that fire had spread, that would be a tough one to put out. The city of Sandpoint is aiming for a September reopening for North Boyer Road, dependent on a couple of important materials arriving in between now and then. But right now, the target date is September for North Boyer Road for the replacement of that failed culvert that has now redirected the traffic on North Boyer all the way around to Bronx Road. The one hopes that, they'll have that open in time for ski season, because that would be a major impediment if the Schweitzer traffic had to drive all the way around. And lastly, or at least the last headline I jotted down, is kind of the big one. The City of Sandpoint's Planning and Zoning Committee has recommended eliminating entirely the city's area of impact. We've kind of covered this area of impact news for a couple months now. It's they first they shrank it quite a bit. There was a little conflict with the city of Dover. They brought their new proposal to the Bonner County Commission. The commissioners told them to go back and revise, and now they are not just revising, but Planning and Zoning is going to recommend eliminating it entirely. And Jack Freeman wrote the story on that in the Daily Bee. We'll talk about that in just a second before I ask Will if I missed any big important news.
Just on the local front, education-wise, there's a program, and it's referred to as the 21st Century Community Learning Centers. And it's an after-school program at Southside, Kootenai, and Farm and Stidwell Elementary Schools. Essentially, they stay open later so that parents at work can pick up their kids later. With the recent funding being taken away, there is an impact on this program here at the Lake Pondere School District. It's going to continue this year because it was already budgeted for this upcoming school year. But after that, depending on funding, we might not see that program, which I know is actually, if you go as a basketball coach, I get to spend a lot of time in these elementary school gyms. And so usually it's that program. They're out on the floor before we start practice. And I know that at least Farm and Stidwell and Kootenai Elementary, it's a pretty big program for kids. So anyway, that's going to have some impact. But I think, like I said, the district in a letter to parents said that they will continue that program for this year.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for the education news update.
That's what I bring.
Okay. Yeah. that's your beat here. Okay, Jack, you wrote the story in the Daily Bee about this, the Planning and Zoning Commission, their elimination or their recommendation, I guess it'll be finally up to the city council to do or not do, but planning and zoning, especially in this area, has hold sway, I think we can say. And as you write here, from just over 12 square miles to nothing, that's the change that could be coming to Sandpoint's area of impact. First of all, a unanimous vote, which kind of surprises me. Why did the city of Sandpoint decide to eliminate their area of impact entirely? Or why is the Planning and Zoning Commission recommending that they eliminate their area of impact entirely?
Yeah, so this is a plan from city staff who were at that county commissioners meeting and brought it to Planning and Zoning. Basically, you know, the short of it is there was a new state law and statute passed in 2024 that amended what cities could have in their area of impact. Mm-hmm. So the biggest changes were that it couldn't be, I think, like 2.5 miles outside of the city's existing boundaries. So that already meant that they would have to shrink it a lot. And then it had to be... I believe what Jason Welker said in his presentation was very likely to be annexed within the next 5 years. And so the city of Sandpoint, as you mentioned, did try to shrink it and bring it to the Bonner County Commissioners. And the commissioners said, basically, are any of these areas of that you have on your map going to be annexed reasonably in the next 5 years? And the city of Sandpoint has no plans right now to annex. And they don't feel like arguing basically with the commissioners about something that may or may not happen. And so they're just opting to do away with the area of impact entirely, which is more of a planning tool than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit about, for those who haven't either been reading or listening as this kind of saga has unfolded, the area of impact is not part of the city. It's what the city informs the county that it's the area that they might potentially expand into, and a place that's not in any city can only be in one city's area of impact, right? So you can't have kind of a a battle. If two cities want to expand, it's predetermined how far they can expand. They can't start annexing one another's, you know, territory, so to speak.
Yeah, right? That's correct.
I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of the is there
a
any
turf
other,
war?
A turf war. Yeah, you can run into that. But that's the reason for the area of impact is that you set out kind of in advance. This is where our city might expand to. And that gives, I guess, for planning purposes, especially long-term planning purposes, that gives authorities kind of a guideline of what to expect. But big change. Am I summing that up about correctly? I think there's no other, that's the purpose of an area of impact.
Pretty much. Yeah. Sandpoint feels as well that it's not that big of a change because most of the annexing done up here is initiated by the property owners, and that mm-hmm. is unaffected by the area of impact. So even if, let's say, somebody outside of the city limits of Sandpoint wants in, they can still get in even if there's no area of impact.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So even though you're not in the area of impact, you could still, yeah.
Now, you also reported that there was some feedback to the planning and zoning, and what was kind of some of the feedback that they said that they received in regard to being in the area of impact?
Oh, yes. They received many letters and testimony. They said that a couple of weeks ago, they because they've been talking about this for a while, and there was about 40 people at one of their meetings, and almost everybody who lives outside of the city of Sandpoint say that that's on purpose. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be in the city of Sandpoint or in this area of impact, even though it really doesn't affect them. There's a perceived fear of that annexation, and so they were there to basically say, you know, we want out in a way, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. That was the overwhelming response. Did anybody say, I want to be in the area of impact?
Not really, no.
Okay.
If there was, it was a small amount compared to the people who said that it's on purpose that we don't live within Sandpoint.
Yeah. This is probably more of a trivia question for you, Will. Do you remember any time in your lifetime that the city of Sandpoint actually did change its boundaries?
Yes, actually, yeah. I was in that area of impact growing up. And then my farm that I grew up on Great Northern Road was annexed into the city after a pretty long fight and lawsuits and stuff like that, because I think as Jack was talking about the people currently out in this area, I think our family and I had also my grandparents were in this area as well. They did not want to live in the city of Sandpoint, and mm-hmm. so anyway, it can be kind of aggressive mm-hmm. sometimes, and so that's what I remember. Now I was a little kid, so you know, my memories were not too deep into, you know, what the codes were and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. I do remember it being a discussion at the dinner table quite a bit, mm-hmm. I can understand where some of these people are coming from.
A while ago though, since or
yes
since that
yeah,
one.
Yeah yeah yeah, yeah. Thanks uh-huh. for reminding me how old I am, Jack. I appreciate that, but this was a while ago,
at least 5-10 years ago.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I guess it did lead to quite a bit of development there on Great Northern Road that we've seen over the years.
Yeah. So yeah, we'd be talking about back in the 20th century at least.
Yeah, yeah. 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 For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Back in the good old the olden days.
Yeah.
I think is how we refer to it.
Right.
Yep.
Let's see here. I don't know. I'll just invite Chloe to add anything if you want to, because your beat is kind of the county. I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't have too much to add to it. Jack did a great job covering that.
This was a city decision more than a county decision, but it came, I'm sure you were at the meetings when the county was talking about the different areas of impact. There's a little conflict between Sandpoint and Boyer, Sandpoint and Dover, right? Yeah.
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 I don't have too much to add to that.
Yeah. Let's see. This all comes because of a law passed during the last legislative session. That's kind of what what kicked off the whole controversy over areas of impact. Well, okay. Anything else important we need to say about the area of impact?
Well, I was just going to ask Jack, because he wrote kind of a preview story on the impact fees in regard to a public forum. And so was there anything there that was noteworthy, or did you attend that?
I did attend that meeting, and there was nobody who showed up to give public comment on the development fees. They don't really affect residents that much. They're more for developers building. If anything, it's taking a burden off the taxpayer. So, yeah.
Let's see. I guess we can kind of start talking a little bit about Jack's history here. Did you start covering the city in time to go to that marathon meeting, that 4-hour meeting on June 25th?
I was not up here in time, but I made sure to watch it, and I've watched 4 hours, so I say I was there in spirit.
That was a blockbuster.
Got a lot of story ideas off of that. Long meeting, but it was worth it for me.
Yeah. A lot happened at that one. You arrived here in Sandpoint to work for the Daily Bee. When?
So I got in... I spent my first day in Sandpoint on July 7th, and I started at the Daily Bee on July 8th.
Okay.
So this is just about my second week here. Loving Sandpoint so far. It's been really fantastic. It's very beautiful, and quite a change from what I'm used to from, you know, living in the Bay Area and Sacramento, major metropolitan areas. So I'm getting used to it day by day, but the stunning views help.
Yeah. You grew up in Sacramento? Or where'd you come? That's your origin?
Yeah, more so the Bay Area is where I grew up. I attended college in Sacramento, so I kind of say I'm from both. They're, you know, relatively close to each other, but I've done a lot of my development in Northern California, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. When you saw the job opening, what drew you to Sandpoint over, I don't know, anywhere else in the country?
Yeah, well, you know, I graduated from Sacramento State, and from there, you know, it's just a frenzy because you want to be employed and get your first job in your chosen field. And so I was mass applying to everywhere, and I came across the listing, and there was a little thing at the end that was like, if you're passionate about community-driven local news, then this is the perfect place for you. And I remember I must have sent out 75 emails, but that one stuck with me, being like, well, I think I could end up there. I could see myself there. And luckily... I have family friends who have lived in Sandpoint for 50 years. And so when I was offered the position, I was like, well, coincidences like that don't come around every day. So, you know, let's try it. Let's see a different part of the world.
Yeah. Hey, so had you ever been here before or up in this area at all?
No. I think the furthest north I've ever been was Seattle one time.
This is a bit of a change, I would think. Definitely from the Bay Area and Sacramento. You're here 2 weeks. I guess it's a little early for any kind of full assessment, but it's been an interesting time here in Sandpoint. How has moving been, and how has your? It's always interesting to ask people who are new to town. Kind of, you know, is it how are you doing finding, for example, housing, lodging? It's a struggle for a lot of people, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Lodging has been taken care of by the family friend. They've been fantastic for me and really supportive. Cool. But finding a permanent place in Sandpoint is definitely a struggle, especially something that's affordable. With everything is, you know, a struggle right now, but, you know, getting through it. I'm kind of used to a... expensive environment, let's say, in the Bay Area in Sacramento. So I'm used to looking at things and falling in love and then looking at the price and going, I don't know about that. But no, it's been fantastic so far. The town, the community has been very welcoming. Everybody I met has welcomed me very graciously. And it's been a great experience so far. My family friend actually lives in Sagal. So I get to cross the Long Bridge every day into town. And that is just... otherworldly compared to what I'm used to.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fun drive as long as there's not a traffic accident or something like that.
Yeah. Usually when you talk to most people about how they landed in Sandpoint, it involves crossing that bridge. So I just had a question actually for both you and Chloe. Journalism, and you look at the numbers, and it's not the kind of pathway that it probably was a while ago in regard to kind of fame, glory, riches, all that stuff. So I just was wondering what led you down this path? Why do you find journalism so importantly? And I'll ask you first, Chloe, and then we'll get to Jack.
Well, I don't have my answer is kind of whatever. I never knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. I knew I was pretty good at writing, and so I was like, well, I guess I'll do that with my life. And through that, I kind of fell in love with like the journalism and getting to share the community's stories. And of course, my beat is a little hard with that. You know, I cover the court system. But I find those little moments of joy of people like excited that this event was covered, you know, stuff like that. So for me, it's important to share that. And I don't know, I've fallen in love with it by doing that.
Jack?
Yeah, I first got into journalism because as a kid, what I wanted to do was be the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks really badly.
well, they probably need one.
And
this is KRFY.
But then I grew up and I was 5'6" and didn't like getting hit. And so I was like, well, maybe I need to find a different career path. And I've always liked writing and so fell into journalism and doing sports and stuff like that. And then over my time in Sacramento, just saw the impact that local journalism can have and fell in love with trying to make a difference in my community and really, you know, diving into issues and things like that. And so this position is really perfect for that because I find joy in just learning new things and having new experiences. And right now my job is basically diving into things that are a little boring, you know, like the city budget and the area of impact and learning all about it and getting to share that in my writing is super fun. You know, it might always might not always be the most, you know, interesting topic, but I really just am passionate about the impact that local journalism can have.
Yeah, when I graduated, a lot like you, Chloe, I had an English literature degree.
Yeah.
And so it was like, what am I going to do next? And then the next thing I found out is that I was covering a public utility district, and I had no idea that those things even existed. And so I kind of fumbled my way along, but eventually learned a lot, and it's really paid off for me as I've gotten older, just kind of understanding how things work. Because I think a lot of us don't know how things work. And then one of the things I always tell my kids too is that my students is that you know, one of the things that we have to rely on in a representative democracy is journalists in small towns, at the state level, at the national level, like giving us this information so that we can make the choices when we go to vote and other things like that. So anyway, it's neat to hear your guys' story.
Let's see, before it is our time draws to a close. Before we go, I think I should ask Jack for his quick take on parking in Sandpoint, because this is the year of parking. It's all anybody's talking about is parking, and we've covered it on I think every radio show in one form or another, and we'd be remiss if we didn't let you have your say. How are you surprised by how much the topic of parking is kind of dominating the city business here in town?
I'm not surprised how much it dominates. It dominates parking talk everywhere in every city, but especially with just how limited space is downtown. It doesn't shock me at all. I mean, I did a lap when I first got here and I was looking around and going, oh my goodness, there's, you know, no space. There's no space. It's cramped and nothing goes up very high. So it doesn't shock me at all. I unfortunately don't have a car up here yet. My wife still has our car at home. Hopefully, you know, I'll get to see her soon and everything like that. So I've been biking around, and let me tell you, not having to deal with parking is very nice.
That's why I do it. Yeah. I ride my bike whenever possible, including today. It's a nice one for it.
Jack, yeah. I'm enjoying the free parking in town.
Yeah, again me today, too. So. Yeah,
for the moment.
Yeah, for the moment.
For the year anyway. We've pretty much run out of time. I think we've asked the important questions, and look forward to talking to you both again sometime soon.
Yeah. Welcome to Sandpoint.
Yeah, welcome to Sandpoint indeed.
Thank you so much.
I'll move on to our regularly scheduled programming. It's time for Otto's Eclectic Mix here on 88.5 KRFY, and kicking it off with a little Van Morrison tune. Here we go. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. We'll be back next week with more on Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning, as we are every single week here on Panhandle Community Radio.